Welcome to the Global Business Women's Pod, hosted by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. I am Susan Dyson and extremely excited to be your podcast host. In my day job, I am proud to be the CEO, president, and founder of the Chamber. Every Thursday at 6 p.m., we will bring you inspiring stories of women who are leading in the advancement of women and girls. We will take you with us to our premier events. You will meet entrepreneurs, executives, and philanthropists who will empower and inspire you to succeed. So please mark your calendars and join us for the Empowering Global Business Women's Pod, Thursday at 6 p.m.
Now I have the distinct pleasure of moderating a conversation with Dr. Sean Adigan. Sean, welcome. Your career and life journey are like a script out of a movie. Please share a brief history about yourself.
Oh, yes. No, I really appreciate it. First of all, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Juliet. I am a two-time Olympian. I am the first ever African to compete in both the Summer and Winter Olympic Games. I basically, by the age of 30, I had completed both two masters, two bachelors, and a doctorate of chiropractic in pursuit of trying to help revolutionize sports medicine. So I've been kind of busy, to say the least. I am a first-generation Nigerian here in the U.S., born and raised in Chicago, but been in Houston for about 15 years now.
Wow, well, Houston is honored to have you here.
I'm honored to be here.
Please go into a little more detail about your experience with the Nigerian government and how you talked them into doing the bobsled team.
You know, that is probably one of the most asked questions. How do you create a winter bobsled federation for a sub-Saharan country, right? Honestly, I think it really boiled down to putting myself in a position where I couldn't be denied. And I think that that speaks not just to this venture, but to anything, you know, that we then seek to try and achieve, particularly even as women or even just as ambitious individuals. You know, sometimes things will present themselves as impossible, but when you actually have a plan and you execute it, it is possible. Anything is possible. And so what it all boiled down to, again, as I mentioned, in putting yourself in a position where you can't be denied, it was knowing that there was a level of ignorance in every sense of the word, of just not knowing, not being privy to what it means to have this type of representation. Because Africa, or sub-Saharan Nigerian, they don't get snow. You know, they don't get even temperatures cold enough to create slush, you know. So to be able to show them how important it was to be represented on the biggest stage in the world in athletics at the Olympic Games was really kind of where I honed in on showing them what I was doing with this Nigerian bobsled team. And when they started to understand it, it was like, okay, this is wonderful. And so that's essentially how I got them on board. I got the world on board first and then showed them that, hey, look, people are really rooting for us.
Wow. So did you, where did this idea come from? I can't imagine growing up in Nigeria and saying, I think I'll start a bobsled team. Let me get involved in this. What happened to get you there?
Yeah, well, fortunately for me, I had already competed at an Olympic Games as a track and field athlete. And so as a three-time Nigerian champion and two-time African champion in the 100 hurdles, I competed in the 2012 Games, which created these relationships with international bodies, with Africa, with Nigeria at the highest level of sport. And so I actually was done with sports after the 2012 Games because those games for me were me proving to myself that I can compete with the best in the world. Being able to persevere through things like two heart surgeries or stress fractures and other ailments that I knew, as long as I could just persevere through this, I would be able to prove to myself that I can compete with the best in the world in whatever it is that I do. And when I decided to come back to the sport, it was after coaching at University of Houston for 5 years. I coached track and field there. And I said, there's something more that I want to be able to give these athletes, but I have to go back to school to do it. And so in that journey, I decided, you know what? I don't only just need to go back to school, but as a woman trying to establish myself at the highest level in a male-dominated industry, mm-hmm. I should probably get back into an Olympic sport to now make myself relevant enough to be able to speak at these tables that I get the invitation to come and sit. And so it was all part of a calculated plan to really be able to provide a service to others. But what it turned out to be was now an opportunity to create for others. Because when I started in the sport of bobsled, I was on the U.S. team for a year. And in that, I learned that the sport wanted to grow. Africa had never been represented. And I had a unique position as a former Olympian, or once an Olympian, always
Olympian. An Olympian.
Mm-hmm. But I had a position already as a summer Olympian within the Nigerian Olympic Committee that I could help do that for the country of Nigeria. And so it just started to blossom and grow beyond myself and what I had originally set out to do. And I took it on as sort of a divine intervention.
That is an amazing story. So
Thank you. Are
you still involved with the sport? Are you still involved with the Nigerian teams? Or is, you know, tell us how you've evolved.
Absolutely. And so I came in and started with the president, the now sitting president of the Bobsled and Skeleton Federation of Nigeria. And there needed to be, obviously, a governing body for us to be able to compete in these sports of bobsled and skeleton. And so when I started that federation, I decided that I wasn't going to walk away from that just because we had done something special in 2018. I was going to stay there and help continue to create that opportunity for others. Because at the end of the day, legacy is important.
That's right.
And it's not just about what you can do for yourself. It's about what you can create for others to do after you're gone. Mm-hmm. And that is what I sought out to do. So now I'm helping to lead the next class of Winter Olympians to 2022, not as a driver, though, as someone in the administrative role of helping to facilitate these next Olympians.
Wow, that's sometimes a hard transition from being the one in the stage to the one that's backstage.
Oh, trust me. I am, to this day, I'm just like, oh my goodness. And for me, it's not even just about like being front stage or backstage, because I'm usually most comfortable backstage.
Okay.
But there's that transition of you're no longer whipping yourself down a ice mountain at 90 miles an hour. You get to convince someone else to do it.
So tell me, you know, where today is the women's conference, and
absolutely,
you are a trailblazing woman.
Thank you.
What kind of advice would you give to young women who are, especially, I mean, you've got a couple of different avenues that, you know, that you could really be an expert on, but let's talk about you're in male-dominated fields, and what can we do to promote ourselves and other women to enter into these fields and to be successful in places where we haven't typically been?
That's a great question, and one that I really take to heart, because I think that journey for me really started when I realized how important the word honesty is. Being honest with ourselves is the key to being able to move forward in whatever it is that we set ourselves out to do, particularly as women. Being able to sit down and have a conversation with yourself and know and learn, where are my strengths and where are my weaknesses? Because the weaknesses are usually the things that tend to play on that make you not fit, make you too emotional, make you not the one for the job. However, your strengths are the ones that sometimes make you overqualified or make you strong enough to do exactly what it is you set out to do. But when you're aware of what those are in your life, you're able to navigate your plan. You're able to navigate through perseverance, through determination. You're able to get to your destination in a much easier way because you have control over the things that you know about yourself. And so people are not able to use that against you or to hinder your ability to grow because you now have that control. And so I usually like to tell women, be confident in who you are because you know who you are. You've taken the time to understand your strengths. You've taken the time to be one with your weaknesses so you know how to maneuver around them. And you can apply that to anything.
That's amazing. Great advice. I'm sure that people will take it to heart. So what is next for Dr. Sean Attigan? You've done some pretty amazing things. How can you follow that up? What's the encore here?
You know, honestly, I am always up to something. That's just...
I can tell that about you.
That's like the story of my life. I'm always like, well, what's next? I ask myself this every single day, to a fault sometimes. But for me, I think I've really started to hone in on my passion for being able to help revolutionize sports medicine. And what I mean by that is focusing on what does it really take to help people become the best that they can be in their respective sports? How do we take that integrative approach and really be able to put the focal point on the athlete or the individual, the client, the patient? And the answers to those questions are what I have now gone to seek out. And in doing that, I aspire to actually build an injury prevention and rehabilitation facility here in Houston, where we focus on all of the integrated approaches to helping people become the best that they can be. And I loved the last panel when they talked about these different approaches, from mental intervention to, you know, there is no at this point, a combative, comparison between the different genres of medicine. At the end of the day, it is, what do we need to do for this person to be great? And so that's what I'm really seeking out to do now. I mean, I still work with the sports world in, again, helping to build opportunities for the next generations of athletes from the continent of Africa, in the United States, wherever it is that I can help provide that. And then I'm also still working on philanthropic, you know, things. I'm always trying to help people, no matter what it is, whether it's as a global ambassador for Special Olympics or working with other underprivileged or underrepresented individuals.
Well, you are a role model in the truest sense of the word. So I guess a couple of sort of last questions. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's always interesting to me to understand who influenced you and who influences people and how they get there. They draw their strength. You know, oftentimes we find a person or somebody that, you know, you're going to be a role model for a lot of people. Who was your role model?
Oh, my goodness. My role models definitely are my parents, for sure. And that being, one, my mother, because she represented everything that I needed to learn as a strong woman. Mm-hmm. And not just a strong woman in the essence of like women are supposed to be strong, you know, but in the sense that she was focused, she was diligent, she knew how to love and how to care. And to this day, she still supports wherever she is needed. And there is nothing more that you can provide for a child as a parent than your love and your support. And my father was the same. Fortunately for me, I came from a background of where both my parents did sports, and I have athletics on both sides of the family. And so my father was one of the most, probably could have been one of the most nationally recognized soccer players in his time, but his father didn't allow him to really grow in sports because during that time, it was more so about academics. What can you do that's going to sustain your life in the future? And so because he wasn't necessarily able to utilize his happiness in sport, he made sure that that did not happen to me. Even if it sounded outrageous or he didn't understand, he said, well, if it makes you happy and you're handling your business academically, I'm not going to hinder your ability to grow. I'm going to allow you to continue to grow. And I think that's a huge lesson that I've learned, that when I, you know, eventually have kids, that your support for your children is immense. And sometimes just being able to say that you allow them to do what they want to do in their happiness that doesn't harm them, you'll be surprised at how you'll reap the benefits of it. And so, I think that those are definitely my role models, my brothers, my family. We're just a family of everyone loves each other.
It sounds like an amazing bunch of people. And
thank
I think
you.
The idea that you were encouraged to follow your passion, but you were also presented with, it sounds like your parents were really good compliments to each
yes.
other, because you got that stability and the hard work ethic, and then you got the follow your passion.
It absolutely.
Sounds like a perfect storm, and look at what it produced.
Absolutely. And I mean, nothing obviously is going to be perfect,
yeah.
but we all do our best to try.
Yeah, that's amazing. So looking back, you mentioned that you kind of know what you would do for your own children, but if you could just talk to your younger self, mm-hmm. is there any great advice that you would give to your younger self? I mean, it sounds like you did a pretty good job without advice from your older self, but just if you could look back now, anything that you learned that you wish you would have known a little earlier?
Yeah, you know, I'll be 100% honest. I think it would really revolve around finances. It would really revolve around taking the time to understand the importance of financial growth, generational wealth, and financial stability. And I say that because it's just not as prevalent in especially the Black community. These aren't just conversations that are very frequent. And so sometimes you just have to learn along the way if you don't get the right mentor or the right exposure through that process. And I think that I was curious enough early enough to kind of understand that this was important. Mm-hmm. But if I was to talk to my younger self, I would probably make more investments early. I would try to have conversations with financial advisors earlier. I would just understand the importance of financial wealth and growth and stability. And I think that most times, you know, you'd want to tell yourself to keep going or do all these things. And if I had to relive my entire life, I'd be blessed enough to do it all over again the exact same way. But the one thing that I would probably add to that is just to understand what it means to know finances.
I think that is phenomenal advice. And, I actually personally spend time in high schools teaching financial principles to high schoolers, and so you're preaching to the choir.
Incredible.
I think that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining
thank
us today.
You.
It is a pleasure to hear your story, and we are honored to have you.
Thank you for watching the Global Business Women's Pod, brought to you by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. We cannot wait to see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. And remember, you can always find us at ghwcc.org.